Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together. God, I thank you and I honor you, Lord, as we go into this time of the Word. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Allow us, God, to hear in such a way that we hear beyond ourselves. That there's no flesh that disturbs our hearing. Then, God, allow us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, I thank you in advance for doing, God, what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, prepare your notes. We know that we started working through Hebrews 2, and we moved further into Hebrews 2 on Sunday. And in that chapter, there's actually a quote from Psalm 8. And so that's where we're going to start today. Psalm 8. And the writer of Hebrews quotes this eighth psalm, which happens to be my mother's favorite psalm. It's your favorite psalm too? It is my mother's favorite psalms. I know she will listen to this. It reads, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How excellent is thy name. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Far from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him. Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field, the birds of the heaven, and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's go back to verse 4. In verse 4, we see it says, what is man? Here's where the quote begins. What is man that you take thought or that you are mindful of him? Now, there's a key here. And the Son of Man. So we see in this text that this text not only refers to the Lord, we know that it's speaking prophetically ahead of Jesus, but the way that the verse is constructed, you see it's also speaking about us. What is man that you take thought or that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you care for him? Now, I said this on Sunday, and I need to say it again. Mankind was made in the image of God, and then to redeem mankind, God came in the image of man. That's an important reality. Mankind is made in God's image, and then when God has to come redeem man, he clothed himself in our image. He's really trying to teach us how to live, because apparently we had lost our minds. Amen. He said, y'all done messed around and forgot how I made y'all. So let me come looking like y'all to teach y'all how to live. Now, what really begins to show us some connectivity, if we're still in Psalm 8, look at verse 6. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the heaven, fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Now, run to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This should be recap for all who are paying attention on Sunday. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps. That's going to come back in a second. Over every creeping thing. Oh, she's in Ephesians. It's supposed to be in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1. I know y'all, I noticed that y'all was looking at the screens real funny. Because that's the Ephesians. Genesis 1, 26. And as she's getting that up on the screen, I want you to notice how the dominion that is given to the Lord, Psalm 8, strangely matches the dominion given to mankind in Psalm 1. Does that make sense? If we're looking at Psalm 1 again, he says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over fish of the sea, birds of the sky. Leave this up. Turn in y'all's Bibles to Psalm 8 again. Go back to Psalm 8, and we're going to start at, just leave that up on the screen. Hold this in y'all's paper Bibles. Verse 6, you make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, sheep, oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the heaven, fish of the sea. Go back to Genesis 1. Look at what it says. I got fish of the sea, birds of the sky, cattle of the earth. That's what we're given dominion over. It's strangely, but I won't even say ironically, on purpose, matches. Does that make sense? We have a match between the dominion given to mankind at creation and the dominion that Jesus is said to have as the Son of Man. So here's the issue. The devil has lied to us in telling us that we somehow lost our dominion. Yeah, I'm going to do it again. I've actually heard entire sermons about how we've lost dominion and reclaiming dominion. Right? You got to reclaim your dominion. Well, when did we lose it? What has happened is the enemy has caused you to believe a lie. Does that make sense? We didn't lose anything, but he keeps telling you you don't have it. You don't have to take my word for it. Let's look at Genesis 3. Let's actually look at the fall. Genesis 3, verse 18. Genesis 3, verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I've commanded you not to eat? Now, this is such a profound text because here it is. I got Adam and Eve, and God is getting all the lowdown just from him. Never mind. He called the man. He called the man. He didn't call the male. Don't miss it. He didn't call the male. He called the man. He had already said the two have become one flesh again. So the man and the woman are both the man. She's the man with the womb. Womb man. The spokesman for the two of them was Adam. Lord have mercy. He was the one with the keys to the kingdom. Lord, okay, here we go. I want y'all to understand something. Remember when Jesus, oh, it's about to get good, Elder Karen. Remember when Jesus, who do men say that I am? Peter's the one that answered. I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Those of you who have been in class with me know this, that that particular binding and loosing was, he was giving Peter the authority to be the spokesman. Because binding and loosing in that text and nowhere in the Bible will you find it ever connected to devils. Right. We made that up. Satan, I bind you. We made that up. Okay. Binding and loosing is the entire concept of either binding the text, we don't understand it, therefore don't teach it, or loosing the text, we understand it, therefore we teach it. You actually see it in operation, whoo, when you come to the upper room experience in Acts 2, right? When they're like, these men are drunk. Peter says, no, they're not. None of the other disciples said a word because none of them had keys. In order to get a key, you have to have revelation of who he is. And so the only spokesman was Peter. He said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. That's Peter talking. Are y'all walking with me so far? So when God comes in the garden, Lord have mercy, and he starts asking questions, the spokesman, the one who had complete understanding of who he was, spoke. Adam was like, I'm the spokesman because I'm the one who you gave the voice to and the instruction. You don't even see anywhere in the text where Eve tried to speak. She didn't say nothing until God started asking her specific questions. The spokesman spoke. Amen. And that's what's wrong with a lot of marriages right now. You got silent spokesmen. Never mind. And you're causing people who are not supposed to bind and loose to be out of position. I'll come back to that in a minute. He done got real quiet in here, Orlando. He done got real quiet. I'm in verse 11. Verse 12. The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me. You see, now God about to get frustrated. The woman who you gave. First of all, you asked for this. She gave me from the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. And I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all the, what's the next word? Come on. Cursed are you more than the what? More than every what? Beast of the field. On your what? Belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Let's read that verse again, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than all the what? More than every what? Of the field. On your who? You will go. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the what?
Cattle.
Over the what again?
Cattle.
And over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the what? Now y'all go back to Genesis 3. You know I got to read real slow. Y'all pray for me. Genesis 3, verse 14, one more time. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you more than the what? Now, last I checked, I got dominion over the cattle. And God just cursed the serpent to be lower than the cattle. And the last I checked, he just made the serpent be a creeping thing. And last I checked, I got dominion over all the creeping things. So here it is. I got this low-down joker telling me that he's strong when even at the curse, I got dominion. I'm going to read the rest of it, but I guess, let me tell y'all what you're not going to find. Spoiler alert. None of the dominion gets taken away from me. If he's cursed more than the cattle, and I got dominion over the cattle, why don't I have dominion over him? If he's a creeping thing, and I got dominion over every creeping thing, why am I afraid of the devil? Now watch. He's talking to the devil. Do we agree? Okay. And so if I got dominion over the devil, the devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not omniscient. Huh? None of those things belong to the devil. So when we start talking about the spirit of depression, that's not the devil. That's somebody working for the devil. Because darkness has a hierarchy, just like light does. You with me? So when you start saying, I'm dealing with the spirit of lust, that is an underling of the devil. So people think more highly of themselves than they ought to think when they always talking about the devil is bothering me, right? I heard one particular person say the devil followed them around everywhere they go. Well, you got to be important. Because if you're so important that the devil follows you, he can't be everywhere at once. So you're so important that the devil himself follows you around, okay? But I need y'all to understand, if you're dealing with a spirit of depression, that's not the devil. That's one of his underlings. I got authority over his boss. It's gonna settle. Your boss is a creeping thing. And if your boss is a creeping thing, what does that make you? I got authority over all creeping things. God, at the beginning, made Satan a creeping thing. Lord, have mercy. And nowhere, let's keep reading. Go to, this verse 15. Come on, go put verse 15 up there. We're going to read it. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He'll bruise your head. You're going to bruise him on the heel. I still ain't seen no dominion get taken. 16, to the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you'll bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband. Wait a minute. In pain, it's going to hurt, but you're still going to give birth. Nowhere, we ain't taking no dominion away. Not in that verse. Verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil, you're still going to eat all the days of your life. Thorns, thistles shall grow for you. You'll still eat. Plants of the field, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread. I'm not taking away your eating. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, I'm going to say something else that folks ain't going to like. He gave this curse to Adam. As a matter of fact, he gave the entire world a reset at the flood. When they came out of the boat at the flood, he gave them the same instruction that he had given to Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. He gave the whole world a reset. Y'all with me? So all of this talk that we keep telling people that we're still victims of the fallen nature, really we should rephrase it and say we're making fallen choices. Because you don't have to. When we tell people that we are victims of the fallen nature, we're saying it in a way as if we don't have a choice to be righteous. You just gonna be foul. No, it's a choice. Hey, see, you see how we start getting? Anytime I start telling people they can live free, that's what people bother me about. That's when they got stuff to say. You can't be telling people, preachers have told me, you can't tell people they can live free. I didn't, the Lord did. Huh? The law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8. You can't be free. You just don't want to be. Amen. And so what has happened is, again, the devil keeps telling you that you've lost your dominion, even though the fall never said that. You don't see it anywhere in there. Why does this take place? What really happened at the fall? The fall dislocated us. Write that down. The fall dislocated us. Dominion is a product of alignment with the Father. But sin causes dislocation. I'll say it again. Dominion is a product of alignment with the Father. If you want to operate consistently in dominion, you have to consistently stay in alignment with the Father. Sin dislocates. I'll give it to you in a simple two-parter. Listen to this. Sin dislocates, righteousness resets. Sin dislocates, righteousness resets. Third time. Sin dislocates, righteousness resets. Now, this is something that Paul worked through a lot when he was teaching the church at Ephesus. But I would argue this. It's not that we've lost dominion. You're dislocated. Now, I'm going to show it to you naturally and spiritually. When you get reset, you regain what you think you lost. Let me say this at the onset, because I'm going to work through this systematically. But let me say this. A dislocated bone is not broken. Still ain't caught it. A dislocated bone is not broken. It has simply lost its function because it lost its place. Ooh. It's not broke. It just can't function the way it's supposed to because it's out of place. So our lack of dominion is a product of dislocation. This is why when you get in alignment, stuff start working. Yeah. It's not fun. It's not broken. It's still connected, but it's dislocated. So it can't do what it's supposed to do. Amen. All right, go to Ephesians 2. Let's work through this. Paul talked through a lot of this, of course, using different language, but this same premise. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Y'all should be very familiar with these texts, but, you know, repetition is powerful. You were dead. Do y'all see that in Ephesians 2? For some of us, that's our verse right there. Now, here's what I think we miss about Ephesians 2. I'm going to take my time. You, what's the next word? Huh? You were, past tense. Not you are. You were. Notice, he's talking to a group of individuals who did not have full revelation of who Christ was. The precipitating issue at Ephesus was this. They only had John's baptism. They had heard about repentance and the remission of sins. That's all they knew at Ephesus. They really didn't understand about the coming Holy Spirit. These people were believers, many of them not filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what was up. That's why Apollos was sent there. Priscilla and Aquila are the ones who had to train Apollos in a more excellent way. So when you see Ephesians, the people at Ephesus really were divided among Jew and Gentile. They couldn't get along. And he literally comes in chapter 2, verse 1 and said, you were dead, all of y'all, in your trespasses and sins. Verse 2, in which you, what's the next word? Formerly. in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the who?
Sons of who?
Now stop, stop, stop. Okay, I've taught this, but let me say this. The way that we teach who the devil is gives him more authority than the scriptures give him. Okay? So I've talked about the devil being the prince of the power of the air, right? But the prince of the power of the air only applies to the sons of disobedience. Okay. Who is the leader in England? King who? Charles. Is that your king? No, is that your king? No, it's not a trick question. That's not your king? Because you're not a citizen there. Lord, I want to run. Okay, that's not your king. Because I'm not a citizen of that kingdom. Y'all still ain't caught it. It's not my king because I'm not a citizen of that kingdom. He can make all the decrees he wants. They don't apply to me because I'm not a citizen of that kingdom. So how in the world are we giving the devil?
Oh boy.
Huh?
Okay.
Who's not even a part of my kingdom?
Not
right? You ain't nothing you can say that has any authority over me. And the only way to give you authority is for me to dislocate and change citizenship and become a part of another kingdom. Notice he says, you formerly walked according to the course of this what?
World.
So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So as soon as I began to be worldly and operating in the kingdom of darkness, that becomes my prince. Now, there's only one king. There's only one king. But this becomes your prince. He says, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And if you're not a son of disobedience, that's not your leader. So why be afraid? Notice how the devil lies, though. We done made the devil all powerful. They made him all big. Listen to what we say. I'm struggling with insert spirit. Who I'm struggling? The devil is getting me today. How? How is the devil getting you? What's going on? It doesn't make any sense. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Orlando, see what's going on back there. It doesn't even make any sense. Many times we say like, oh, this is what's going on, or that's what's going on, or the devil is, how many of y'all heard this one? The devil's busy. You wouldn't know how busy he is if you wasn't paying attention. You wouldn't know how busy he is. No, hear me out. What did King Charles do today? Anybody know what he did today? What did he do yesterday? Nobody know what he did yesterday?
Inhale and exhale.
I mean, notice. We don't know what he has done because it don't matter. We got all this time we spending talking about the devil is this and the devil is that. Stop giving him all that airplay. Y'all focus up here. We good. So please hear. Go to verse 3, please. Go to verse 3. Among them, we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, look at what it says. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, You've been saved. We figure out what. Oh, okay. It was freaking that whole side out. And the funny part about it is, Caleb is like, I am not bothering none of y'all. Right. I mean, he got his headphones on. This whole side is like, do y'all hear that? Caleb is like, what? So even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with who?
Christ.
By grace, you've been saved. Put up verse 6. And raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. So if my salvation seats me with him, I'm with him. Come on, let's just think about this normally. I'm with him. So if I am with him, why am I afraid of somebody else who's under him? Listen, we know scripturally how the devil behaves in the presence of God. We actually got Bible on this. I know exactly how the devil behaves when he gets in the presence of God. He stands in line and he waits to talk. And Satan comes to present himself, and he had just a normal discourse with God. He wasn't up there, you know, blowing no wolf tickets. He wasn't talking out of turn. He knew exactly who he was and who he was talking to. He acted like he had some sense, right? Can I please go down there and fool with Job? And notice, he went down, fooled with Job, and came back, and he said, it didn't work because you didn't give me permission to fool with this part of Job. Notice, I'm going down there and I'm only going to do my little part. I ain't going to get out of pocket. We know this. So wait a minute. If I'm seated with him, why y'all let the devil talk to you like he ain't got no sense? Come on, I need y'all to see the picture. I'm seated with him. And you up there trembling. Come on, y'all. This is what happens when we allow the enemy to redefine our salvation and therefore dislocate us. Look at verse 7. Yeah. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us. Where is that? Where is that at? In who? Verse 8, please. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That's what I'm made for. Not to be scared. Not to allow the devil to tell you, you know, that whatever spirit you want to name today, amen, has authority over you. This tired spirit getting me. I'm dealing with a sleepy spirit. Huh? I'm dealing with an agitated spirit. I got an agitated spirit on me. Huh? I'm dealing like an angry one, a frustrated spirit. We're just naming everything. It's getting me. Huh? Well, wait a minute. Why don't we wake up just as easily as we name all these demonic imps? Why don't we wake up and call on the King? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the head. I am not the tail. I am above on and not beneath. Huh? I'm an heir. Huh? You say that. I'm a tree planted by rivers. My leaf will not wither. Everything I do will prosper. So the ungodly are not so. Y'all do know that's what Psalms 1 says. That the ungodly are not so. Y'all do know that's in Psalm 1. That the ungodly are not so. So if you're not so, what does that make us? Ungodly. See, okay. The solution to your state is in the word if you're honest about your state. The solution to your state is in the word if you're honest about your state. So let's look at this in the natural and glean spiritually. I told you a second ago that dominion is a product of alignment with the Father, but sin causes dislocation. Sin dislocates, righteousness resets. So write down dislocate in your notes. Dislocate. It means to move from its proper place or position. Ooh. To move from its proper place or position. You can literally be dislocated and still attached. You're just out of your proper place or position. Right. It's even possible to be around people who are in place and you be out of place. Here's the second part of that definition. To disturb the normal arrangement or position. To disturb the normal arrangement or position. This means this. Listen to me. I can either be dislocated or I can be a dislocator. And it is possible that our circle can be dislocators. People who are disturbing the normal arrangement or position. We call that in 2024 people who are taking your peace. But sometimes we allow dislocators in our life because we enjoy their company. It is possible to be surrounded by dislocators and you don't even know it. I'm going to show you why in a minute. But it is possible to be surrounded by dislocators and not even know it because, listen, and I'll show you this shortly. Dislocation doesn't always happen immediately. It can happen slowly. Okay? And so you have to say, Lord, when we start talking about dislocation, am I dislocated or am I a dislocator? People who aren't speaking the word of God into your life regarding your circumstance and your situation, those are dislocators, even if you love them. So, for instance, if I'm going through and your words to me are, you know, if I was you, I would have cussed them out. That's a dislocating statement. Now, listen, my ability to ignore that dislocating statement only has so much willpower. Because eventually, if I don't recognize you as a dislocator, I'll let you keep pushing against that joint. And if you keep pushing against that joint in the wrong direction, it will pop out. So you got to be careful of the things that you're playing with. Because you can stick your hand in the snake's cage. And it may not bite you the first time, but you continue to mess with it, and eventually you're going to get bit. When you are dislocated, three things are sure to happen. Three things. Number one, there will be pain. And here's where we get in trouble, saints. We attribute the pain to the devil and not the dislocation. Whew. I've seen a young man on the football team get his arm dislocated twice. Same guy came up, they dislocated his shoulder. He popped it back in place, went in the next series, and they dislocated it the very next play. Okay? He can spend all the time he wants getting mad at the opponent. But the pain is being caused by the dislocation, not by the opponent. So you got to be careful of who you ascribe the pain to. Because if I don't ascribe the pain to the dislocation, I can enter into a fight dislocated.
Okay.
Y'all catching what I'm saying? If I don't ascribe the pain to the dislocation, instead of me tending to the dislocation, I'll start fighting against the thing that I think caused it, but I'm not equipped for this fight because I'm not currently reset. That makes sense. So pain is going to happen. And remember, I've taught this about pain. Pain seeks comfort and pain asks the question why. Anytime you're in pain, two things are going to happen just quickly. I want to be comforted and I want to know why. When you're outside, when you're dislocated, the comfort and the why oftentimes are irrational. Right? The young man who got his arm dislocated, he runs off the field. All he was thinking about is the next play. So literally, he goes back and pops his arm back in place. This is irrational. You're not thinking, sir. This is irrational. But pain is not rational. That's why you don't allow pain to make your decisions. Mm-hmm. The second thing that happens when you are dislocated is there is a visible indication of trouble. What we often call that is it looked like something wrong with you. It looked like something's going on with you. You're dislocated. He says, I'll give you perfect peace when your mind is stayed. When you're in, perfect peace should not be a state that we look for only when we're in trouble. Perfect peace should be the state we want to be at all the time. Okay? Perfect peace is how God wants us to live. And so if you want me to live in perfect peace, I can never not have myself stayed on you, which means my everyday posture is to be focused on him. The minute that I'm not focused on him, I'm dislocated. Okay? All right? And with that being said, you got to watch the dislocators, the thing that keep your eyes off him. Some of you should delete them off your phone. Uh-huh. Getting real quiet in the cathedral. But there's a visible indication of trouble. That visible indication of trouble that you are dislocated can come in many forms. It don't have to come in the form of tears, because sometimes the tears are the cleansing. Stop mistaking the tears for the pain, because tears don't always mean pain. Sometimes the tears are the cleansing. Sometimes the tears are the joy. Huh? And if you're not discerning, you'll misrepresent tears. The smile could actually be the fury. The laugh could actually be the danger. Huh? It could actually be the danger. So you have to, listen, when I start talking about a visible indication of trouble, you won't know if there is trouble if you don't know what righteousness looks like. I'll say it again. You won't know if there's trouble if you don't know what righteousness looks like. You don't know if something's out of place until you know what in place is. I'll say it again. You won't know if something's out of place until you know what in place is. If you've never seen a Lamborghini with Gulf wing doors, so the doors come up on the side. If you've never seen a Lamborghini with Gulf wing doors, you get to your first Lamborghini and you go to pull the door handle and the door go up like this. You're like, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. That's the way it's supposed to be. It looks broken because you've never seen that before. So when you don't know what in place is, you don't know what out of place is. Okay? Think about that about a righteous life. We have so many false teachers right now in the body of Christ, they are misrepresenting what righteousness is. And so because righteousness is rare, We don't know what it looks like. And so then people start saying, you're doing too much. That's too much. And don't take all of that. When really that's just the standard. That's this ain't special. This is just holy. Oh, that's, y'all hear me? This is not special. This is just holy. Huh? People will ask me about, you know, like, Pastor, how much are you studying? And because I teach a lot. And I'm like, I'm always studying. Like, and I'm not saying that, well, I'm always studying because I teach a lot. This is just what God has called me to do. So I never come out of study mode. I never come out of prep mode. I just don't come out. Like, I just stay there. That's just my perpetual state. Like, everything I watch, everything I see, it's always something. I got to keep a notebook close. That's just my life, right? And I have, that's who I am. That's not special. It's just who it's what God called me to be. So be careful when people try to make holy special. Because if you allow people to make holy special, you think you're special when you're holy. Right? And now all of a sudden you become, I hear that, the Pharisee. Look at me. I pray like you're supposed to. Look at me. I study my Bible like you're supposed to. One of the worst things that we ever did was we started making people who do what they're supposed to do preachers. I told you I was going to take my time today. I'm having a good time too. We started making the people who were doing what they're supposed to do preachers. So, for instance, you get somebody, Chris Campbell says, you know, man, I read a book. And I go, okay, cool. And so I give him another book to read. He reads that book. I give him a third book to read. He reads that book. Before you know it, you go, man, we got to make Chris Campbell a preacher because he's reading books. No, he's being a Christian. So, well, watch this. When we elevate that behavior, we actually keep the standard of Christendom so low. We make reading books preacher, not reading books Christian. All right. So there's pain, there's a visible indication of trouble. And then here's the third thing that happens when you're dislocated. There's a lack of proper mobility. Proper mobility. You can't move like you're supposed to. When you're dislocated, you lose your ability to move. Praise is hard. Worship is painful. Serving becomes burdensome. You're dislocated. What causes this? Remember, going back to my point, sin dislocates, righteousness resets. Let's look at it in the natural. A forceful blow can dislocate you. One forceful blow to the joint. To the joint. Remember, the joints are the points of connectivity. The joints are the points of connectivity. So the enemy goes after your connection points. The enemy goes after the very thing that keeps you in place. So it'll lie to you about help. It'll lie to you about being accountable. It'll lie to you about your spiritual siblings. Because watch this, divide and conquer. If the devil can first make you feel alone, see, because in isolation, you become weak. And what the devil will do is he will cause you to confuse consecration and isolation. So you're isolated and you'll tell yourself, I'm just getting alone to pray. But you don't have prayer habits. You're not ready to consecrate if you haven't built the habits in community that will allow consecration to be healthy. Come on, y'all. You're not ready to get alone and pray If you haven't built the habits in community of how to study, how to pray, how to worship, how to do the things, because if you don't know how to do it, you'll get alone and you're only isolated because you don't know what to do. And before you know it, you're supposed to be praying and you're watching porn. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, because you don't know what to do when you're by yourself. And so what will happen is you get by yourself with an intention that you don't know how to fulfill. And so you then divert to what you know how to do. Because you're alone and you're not safe. So a forceful blow can dislocate you. Think about the times where we isolate, lose your job, major issues in your health, something going on with your children, boom, major blows, isolation. I just need time. I'm not going to community. I'm not going to be a part of the body. I'm going through by yourself. Major blow, boom, dislocation. Huh? I just need a minute. You don't know what to do with that minute. I just need a minute. I just need a minute to get myself together. You don't know how to do that. So getting by yourself is dangerous because you don't know what to do when you're by yourself. And you just took a major blow. You're bleeding out. You need help. You need somebody to apply the tourniquet. You're going to go into shock. Does that make sense? The next thing that can happen is movement in the wrong direction. This is the one. Because you can be dislocated if you move in the wrong direction. Hear me. If your knee goes in the wrong direction, the first thing that happens is hyperextension. Mm-hmm. Then, if you're lucky, it'll dislocate. If you do it too fast, it'll break. Right? Now, here's the thing about movement in the wrong direction. You can do it slowly and actually miss that you're going in the wrong direction. If I take my arm and I start going this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, I'm good. I'm good. I'm still good. But if you start applying pressure on this joint right now and keep moving it this way, it's going to pop. It ain't supposed to go that way. And so what we do is we allow our perceived limits to keep us in circumstances too long. Because this does not hurt at all. There is no pain right now. Push it a little bit further and it instantly becomes excruciating. And there's been no blow. There's just been slow movement in the wrong direction. So what we do is we allow our tolerances to keep us out of place so long that we're literally withstanding movement away from Christ because we have a tolerance. And then we literally champion our high tolerance. I got a high tolerance for pain. Stop that. Right, I'm flexible. Look how flexible I am. or my other favorite, I'm double jointed. Right. Therefore unstable in all my ways. Right? And so be careful. You know how they talk about, I can't remember what dish it is, but they put the live seafood in the dish and they slowly turn up the heat. Frogs? Yeah. They slowly turn it up. Because if it was hot when it was in there, they'd just jump out. But because they slowly turn it up, they just in there, they're like, oh, it's fine. This is a little warm water. The water's a little warm. We're good. And before you know it, they dead. They go from this is fine to end of life. So if you're slowly moving, right? I was fine, end of life. The third thing that causes dislocation is the weakened joint. A weakened joint. When I was studying on dislocation, they said that once something has been dislocated, if the joint is not fortified, it's easy to be dislocated multiple more times. Because the joint's weakened. It went the wrong way, it popped out, and now it don't know how to handle itself. That joint is like, ooh, wee, this is a problem. So that's why a part of the rehabilitation of dislocation is to strengthen the joint. But what happens many times is we never work on the joints. That's actually what happens when we come together in fellowship. Oh, okay. The four pillars of a healthy church is doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. When we come together in fellowship, we're strengthening joints. So that when you're coming together and breaking bread with each other, you're strengthening joints. So that you can literally say, I know who I can call. Oh, I can make this phone call. Oh, I remember when we spent some time. Listen, when we're in a setting like this and we're all learning, amen to this, but y'all not learning about each other yet. Everybody's listening forward. You learn about each other during fellowship. The issue is we reserve fellowship only for we about to have the cookout. We reserve fellowship for the repast at the funeral, right? The reception at the wedding. But learn to build your joints when there's nothing going on. Let's go have coffee, not because I'm sad, just because I want some coffee. Let's go have something to eat, not because I got something deep to talk about, because I'm hungry. Let's come together and build those joints, not because it's something wrong and now we got to spend joint time teaching. If you wait to have coffee time till you on the verge of breakdown, my coffee cold. Right? I've been sitting up here teaching the whole time. And watch this. We never fellowshipped. I haven't eaten. I ain't drank no coffee. I've been teaching. We've never fellowshipped. Right. And now watch this. Which means if you needed me to say something, if you needed a word, just say that. Hey, I'm going through. I need a word from the Lord. Cool. At least I know what we're doing. No problem. You need a word? Let's get after that. But don't listen. Stop dangling the carrot of fellowship, huh, when you really want doctrine. Because now what you're doing is you are luring people under a false pretense. Just tell me what you need. I need a word. No problem. I got you. Can we eat after? If we're going to come to the restaurant, you need a word. Are y'all ready to order? No. I got to do the doctrine first. I don't want my food to get cold. So let me teach for a while. We done? We good? Yes, bring the menus. Now we can order. Because we're going to order now. Come on, y'all. And don't overlook what I'm teaching tonight. Because this is why the church becomes so clicky. This is why there's so many silos in the church. Because watch this. And this is why it's so personality driven. Hear me. Because when everybody's facing forward, if you appreciate the word that's coming from the sacred desk, listen, that's great. But that doesn't cause interconnectivity. What that causes connectivity forward. In order to get connectivity horizontally with each other, we got to have fellowship. And when you do that, listen, saints, now the joints get strong. And now you can say, stop going in that direction. You're going to break. Yes. Don't go there. I've already went there. I've been rehabbing my joints for the last year. If you keep allowing that to push you in that direction, you're going to get dislocated. Stop allowing that to push you like that. Come on, sis. Your mindset tells me you're getting pushed in the wrong direction. Stop allowing that coworker to push you in that direction. Stop allowing that call to push you in that direction. Stop allowing that habit to push you in that direction. Been there, done that. You learned that in fellowship. You get that in fellowship. Even something as simple as when you're going around and you got two women and they coming up to the same pot of food and they go, can't eat that no more. You go, why not? Girl, let me tell you something. That makes me feel like that. You go, huh, me too. I never knew it was that. If you stop eating that, you'll stop feeling like that. Really? And y'all both stop eating it together. Learn that right there in fellowship. You thinking the devil is in your digestive system. You rebuking every day. Huh? You're like, this ain't the devil. It's your habits. Healthy. Healthy. We got to get healthy. And as a matter of fact, look at Ephesians 4 real quick. I'm not going to read all of that I have. But I need y'all to see, put verse 15 up. I'm just going to read two verses, 15 and 16. Watch this. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's, y'all, I need all the joints working. I need us all working together. You can't just sit up there and go, you going through by yourself. We're a body. And it's my responsibility to constantly highlight the parts of the body that are not functioning correctly. Amen. And to create a rehab program for that part of the body. Do you not know? And I'm going to pray. You can hurt your knee and your back hurt. Seriously. You can hurt your ankle and before you know it, that thing all up your spine because you start compensating. So your ankle and all of a sudden your knee got to bothering you. Now your hip's going through and now you get your hip going through and now you're back. It's funny because I was talking to Orlando and Orlando's having some sciatica issues and it was wrong. And we was talking about it and he went to the rehab. It's a whole sermon. And you know me, because I never stopped, you know, preparing. I heard it. I said, ooh, that's good. It was going to come up when it needed. Because he said, they don't want to fix it where it's hurting. Because where it's hurting is not where it originated. He said, so through rehab, they got to get the pain back to where it came from. And then they can eliminate it. I said, well, that's a whole sermon. Why would I work at it where I see it? Because where I see it might not be where it enters. Sitting up here spending all this time dealing with what I see. What I see is not where it came from. Huh? It's not where it came from. Today I was at the Tabernacle campus and I noticed something was out of place, as I normally, y'all know me. And so, contract there, and it was weird. I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like this little mound, but it was inside. And I'm looking at it, and I was bringing all of my father's orchid knowledge to bear. So I'm like, that don't look like droppings from no animal. Ain't nothing dead in there. I can't see nothing moving. So I sent it to Senior. What do you see? He says, that's fascinating. I want to drive and put some of that in a glass. I want to see it when I get there. So me and Senior are trying to figure this out. And then all of a sudden I said, I got it. He said, what? I said, ants. Right. So the ants had found them a little spot And they were going outside and bringing stuff from outside inside and making a house in a little corner. But everything that I saw in the corner didn't come from the corner. They were making a house based upon the stuff that they was bringing from outside. And so the maintenance man said, I keep cleaning it and it keep coming back. Because you're cleaning what you see. You can eliminate. He said it forms. It keeps coming back. Every time I get rid of it, it forms again. Of course it does. Because you haven't gotten rid of where they're bringing it from. And until you disrupt the origin, till you deal with that, then you'll never be able to disrupt the manifestation. Father, I thank you and I give you praise. You're good. You're kind. As we leave this place, don't leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.